Welcome to the Rediscovering Biblical Manhood podcast. We're growing men who fear the Lord, but do not fear our identity in Christ. The enemy is hard at work in our fallen world. So come on, join us in fighting for the restoration of men's hearts through the church, the word, and our risen Savior, Jesus. Father, thank you. We're going to pause and give everything to you right now. Lord, take it from us. Give everything and everyone and every piece of today's conversation to you. Lord, we bring it under your authority. We know that the men listening may be seeking. We ask that you just give them ears to hear and you give us, or you get us out of the way so that your spirit can lead us in this great conversation. Amen.
Amen.
So, Jay, we are in maturity. And this is part two of our discussion. We said that we're going to have probably several different takes at this. And for the listeners, last week we kind of gave an overview as to what we thought maturity was. And today we're going to really point towards maturity. And Jay, you said it earlier, spiritual maturity in this distinction towards just being ourselves. And so when you hear spiritual maturity, Jay, maybe you can redefine that for our listeners and we can jump straight in.
Well, I think before we can bring spiritual maturity to the other aspects of our lives, our marriage, our job, our parenting, being a friend, we have to deal with ourself, because ourself is always with us, right? There you, wherever you go, there you are. Is that the old saying? And I was actually having a great conversation with my wife this week, and we were talking about jobs and changing jobs. And she said, well, wherever you go, you're taking the guy at work you don't like with you. So you better make sure.
Wait, say that one more time.
She said, wherever you go, you're taking the guy at work you don't like with you. So you better make sure you've got yourself right before you do anything. And I'm not looking to switch jobs or anything, but we were just having this discussion about career. And she said, the common denominator in all the jobs you didn't like was you. So my wife is very, very good at holding up a mirror, which I appreciate. It's been a blessing in our marriage. I don't know that I always thought it was, but it really has been. But that's such a great point. Wherever we go, there we are. The first person we have to deal with when it comes to spiritual maturity is ourselves.
I look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 14, where it says, brothers, do not be children in your thinking, be infants in evil, but your thinking be mature. Jay, when you think about spiritual maturity and you think about what we've learned through reading scripture, what you've learned just in your own self-development, walk me through, like, what is one big area of your life daily, as a man, as a husband, as a father, as just a person that is chasing Jesus? What is like one big area or topic that you constantly chase when you think of, huh, I'm not going to do like I used to do there because that's kind of children-like and this is more mature in my spiritual walk?
Yeah, I think it's about instant gratification. So one of the challenges, you know, if you think about small children, they want to be gratified instantly. And when they're not, you know, they throw a fit or whatever because they have not matured. They don't know how to take turns or share. They have to learn these things. These aren't natural born instincts for a child. And as we grow, we're given choices all day long on how we're going to interact, what we're going to do, choices we're going to make. And, you know, you think about that word sin, you know, sin has a pretty instant payoff usually. Whatever it is you're engaged in, you're generally getting immediate feedback. But spiritual maturity, making the better choice, doesn't always have immediate feedback. And that can be tough because delayed gratification, our flesh doesn't like that. You know, we're three parts. We've talked about it before. We're flesh, we're soul, we're spirit. And the soul is our will and our mind and our personality. And it's governed by either the Holy Spirit living inside of us, if we're a believer, or it's governed by the flesh. And when we're being immature, our flesh is driving the train on our soul and our choices. I think that's the biggest thing I've ever challenged with. Hebrews 5:14 says, you know, you have to learn to discern good from evil. And when we think of the word evil, we think of bad. But just think about the choices that push you off the path of where God wants you. And, you know, that is a sign of maturity. Making the choice that is in line with what the Spirit wants you to do. You have to be in tune, which means you have to be present to the Spirit within you and listening and walking with God. That, to me, is spiritual maturity. And it's so easy to just make choices out of our flesh, but that is spiritual immaturity and usually leads to results that long-term we don't want.
There's so much in there, Jay, and I know that we've got several episodes. I'm trying to stay focused here. I'm thinking about work. I'm thinking about marriage. I'm thinking about parenting and just everything you mentioned there. Let's dive in real quick to one, maybe the why behind the what first, and then I've got a couple of practical ideas around some things that you just shared there, Jay. So let's talk about the brain for just a second. Let's think about you're walking down the road, and just as you're walking down the road, listener, Jay, myself, any human that's walking down the road, your brain is on constant like surveillance, I guess the word is, where your brain, your eyes, your ears, your senses are scanning the environment around you, and then pop, the big loud sound goes off in the background, and your part of the brain, which is like the size of an almond right behind your ear here, called the amygdala, is your fear reaction center, that activates. And what it does is it creates almost like a split, what do they call that in electricity, Jay? Where you split the path. I'm not sure what it's called in an electricity sense, but your brain gets to choose to go high road or low road, right? What I'm saying here is that is as the fear center, it's choosing to either react or respond. And I think that everything you just spoke to there with maturity is the same kind of sense. We can react to things in our lives when they happen as ourselves, in control of ourselves, or we can respond. And that's that choice piece that you're speaking to. So when you're thinking of the brain, boom, the loud sound goes off. The reaction is to jump, right? Because the activation there is fight, flight, or freeze, right? The fear control center there is saying, do I run, do I punch, or do I just stall to let the tree fall down in front of me before I continue moving? That is all that is happening there in the amygdala. As a sign of maturity, and you can think about this, listeners, as you're having a conversation with your best friend versus a stranger, as you're having a conversation at work, and we'll talk about that soon, with your boss versus a colleague. Like, there are different mechanisms that you have built, different behaviors or choices that Jay made, or Jay just said, that we've built into our growth as spiritual mature beings when it comes to actually moving forward in a situation. So when I think of this idea or this anchor that our brain is built to protect, because that's what the amygdala is actually trying to do in fight or flight. It's trying to protect us. Maturity, or on our conversation here, the spiritual maturity is, yes, we're choosing to protect, and there are certain things within our behaviors that change. Jay, you and I were speaking offline about this idea, and we can maybe dive into these practical ideas of responsibility. Ideas of being flexible, ideas of being curious versus the alternative. What's your reaction to that, Jay? Or what's your response, should I say?
Yeah, for me, I mean, there's a lot of really good things to understand there, because we are biological beings. And so our design and the way our bodies work will drive a lot of our responses, especially before we're fully mature. Fully mature people have more control over their biological responses than immature people, and immature people give in. And so, you know, I think it comes down to those choices we make. And I think if we come back to Jesus and we watch him, you know, he was a master at taking a beat, and he didn't react. To your point, he chose a different path in how he reacted to the environment around him, to the people around him, to the questions coming at him. Jesus always like took a minute, it seems like, in the gospel. And then he might respond with a question that tossed somebody off their game, or he would begin to tell a story. You can imagine sometimes like the people that were trying to question him would be like, oh my God, another story, here we go. But in his story would be his response. But, you know, by telling the story, he brought the temperature down. People had to listen. Sometimes he re-aggravated them with his story. But Jesus had control over his physical responses. To your point, the biology is driving you a certain way. Mm. And so is your upbringing, so is your family of origin, stories you tell yourselves. And I think as we mature, we begin to cut through all of that. And we're, if we go back to Secret Agent, we had that series on the Secret Agent. And the whole point of that series was, you are a citizen of heaven and you're on a mission here on earth. Once you become a follower of Jesus and you turn your life and you yield your life over, all the wants and needs and desires of your biological body and your hopes and dreams for yourself, those things all are secondary, because you recognize, like, my time here is super fast and Jesus has something for me to do very specific and I'm on mission for him. And Jesus embodied that in his own life on his mission for the Father. He just didn't take anything personally. And because he had the ability to not take things personally, he was able to rise above the biological response and respond in maturity, which means channeling what the Lord wanted to say in all his responses.
Gah, what a mind blow that was. He didn't take anything personally. All right, let me back up two steps. Do you ever think that when Jesus was being, like, when people were throwing grenades, when the Pharisees and when the religious were throwing grenades at Jesus, do you ever think that he wanted to react with, like, a yo mama joke? Like, oh, you just wonder, right? And then to your point, he just was so able to just take pause and then come back with the perfect response. And as you were saying that, I was looking down here at my notes, Jay. Notice it's called responsibility, not reactability. Responsibility. So think of respond ability, your ability to respond versus react. I love that, Jay. And then when you just said there, the mind blow that I had when you were saying that he didn't take anything personally, I think when I look around my closest friends, I think the people that I'm most attracted to now have such confidence in their faith, have such confidence in themselves, that when the environment around them is totally reactive, they are able to respond. And so let's jump into a couple of practical things, Jay, when you think of respond versus react. Oh, I love this conversation. I think two things that stand out for me, that when you respond versus react in a social environment, let's pretend you walk into a room, you walk up to a circle of, let's pretend, three people. And they're all having a great conversation, and you kind of insert yourself into that conversation. What is attractive and what is unattractive to you? And therefore, what is in this conversation, what do you feel is mature and maybe immature with you? I think for me, at least, traits, or as Jay was speaking towards before, these ideas of ways that we've curved our behavior to not take things personally, to be more spiritually mature. Number one for me, I love people that are humble and don't think that they know everything in every conversation. That for me is a massive sign of maturity. Number two is that they're constantly curious and looking to learn more about other people. And I think we've said in podcasts before, Jay, enter that circle, enter that conversation environment, trying to be more interested versus interesting. And then the third thing that that sticks out for me is they don't play victim, because a person that is responding versus reacting, I think reacting is victim. Poor me, look at me, boo, woe is me. A responder is more, I'm facing this idea of an upset or a setback or a disappointment, but I can acknowledge what I'm feeling in this disappointment, but there is faith that I'm not in control. There is faith that Jesus is moving me forward, and hopefully I'm walking in his will enough to know that this idea of disappointment is not disappointment, but I'm resilient enough to have faith that it's going to work out in the way that it's supposed to.
Jesus was radically interested in everybody he met, because his desire was to draw all people to him. And so every interaction he had with another human was an opportunity for him to draw that person back to God. And then as we look at the apostles and, like, how they matured, and you think about Paul and you look at Paul's writings, Paul then embodied the same behavior. So, you know, when we think about spiritual maturity as a believer, when Jesus left, the last thing he did was he gave an assignment to his people. It's called the Great Commission. And essentially, the bottom line of the Great Commission is get radically interested in other people and live your life in a way that they will be attracted to you and therefore attracted to me.
Yes, yes.
So that they can then be brought into my kingdom. And so, you know, you think about the great Christians, what attracts me to people, and often, so often, I then find out they're believers when they exhibit this behavior. It's exactly what you said. They're radical listeners. They're incredibly curious about you and your background and what's going on in your life. And ultimately, they become very curious about your heart and what are you giving your heart to. But they do it in ways that is very subtle and then will get you to think. And it will come back to what we talked about, which is choices, how I'm choosing to live my life. You once said to me years ago now, offense is a choice. And very mature people, and there's a man that you and I both know, I think about him a lot. He's maybe in his early 70s. He's an incredible believer. And he's an incredible listener. And the joy of the Lord is always on him. And I imagine that he is very difficult to offend, because he doesn't take anything personally, because his question would be, if you said something offensive to him, he would wonder what's going on in your heart that is causing you to be so angry. And he would go after that. And it was funny. Last night I had opportunity, my wife, my two daughters, to sit down, and we had the night off. And so we thought, oh, we'll watch a rom-com. And there's a current rom-com that's brand new. It's out. And we were watching it. And, you know, it was disappointing in a lot of ways. There were some funny moments, but yeah. Several generations of people in the movie, parents and the younger generation, but the inability for people to interact with each other and the rough language they use and how offended they get. And of course, it all resolved in the end, but you thought, all I could think about is, you know, the parents were immature, the young adults who were the focus of the story were immature, and everybody's interpersonal communications were rough and aggressive and about them. Everything was about them and their offense. And then they had to overcome and mature and grow. But you're thinking, none of those marriages are going to make it. Of course, you know, everybody's been divorced and remarried in the movie too. But you just start thinking about, we are interrelational and interconnected beings. And when we're spiritually immature, we almost have an inability to interact correctly with one another. And that's what I think we see the difference in the life of Jesus and all the things we're talking about, is spiritually mature people know how to think about other people first.
You touched on something huge when you were speaking about the 70-year-old or the older, wise, gray-haired gentleman, the heart. And I know that you and I are in a series on Sundays talking about the heart right now, so that's kind of top of mind. But this idea of a person taking offense because there's something going on for them. My eldest daughter had prom last night, and my youngest daughter and I got to have dinner together, and we were talking about several different things, but something she said to me that was fascinating, or a conversation that we had that was fascinating, was around this idea of what's going on with person over there to cause person over there to do that to other people. And I think the essence that she was asking for, what's going on in their heart right now, or what is happening off to the side that's having her spill over onto this other person. And I thought, for me, I'm like, wow, my youngest child is super mature to be looking into, she knows it's not about her, so she's not being offended when that person behaves that way. But she's actually wondering and really curious to what is happening for that person that I can help them get over that, so they're not spilling out on other people. And we've used the analogy before of the full cup. And when you continue to pour into a full cup, it spills over. That's, I think, the emotions that we're talking about here when it comes to spiritual maturity. Jay, two things as we round the corner here on self. I have learned in the last, I want to say 5 years specifically, this idea of faith, this idea of curiosity, this idea of being interested versus interesting is huge. What are a couple of practical takeaways we can leave with our listeners this week when we think of our self-development? And again, self-development in faith, so therefore we're asking Jesus to help us in this development to move towards being more spiritually mature. What are a couple of practical opportunities for us and our listeners that come to mind?
Yeah, to me, I think there's just one we could all focus on this week. And you and I are Ted Lasso fans. If you want to get a really good example, go on YouTube and search Ted Lasso Dart Game. And at the end of the dart game, you know, Ted Lasso is going to say, be curious. Spiritually mature people think about themselves less and others more. And if you really want to hear from the Father this week, let's just spend time. Every person you come into contact with, be curious about them in a subtle way, which will then make you very engaged and present with them. And I promise you, even if it's unconscious and it likely will be, they will feel that. And you will have a radically different interaction with that person than you would have if you just charged in with your, you know, jittery technology amped brain that is moving in 62 different directions. Just pause and be curious about the person you're engaged with.
Father, as we close out this conversation, Lord, thank you just for the opportunity to talk about you and really moving us towards wisdom, Lord, because spiritually mature beings become wise because we are curious, Lord. And therefore it opens doors, Lord. And I ask that as we walk into this week, that you make us more approachable through being more curious, through being more wise in the choices that we're making. Lord, we ask that today for our listeners, anyone that is in a situation where there is an ability to react, that you just give us pause so that we can respond. Give us a good sense of humor, Lord, so that we can realize that this life on earth is not to be taken seriously. Lord, you are the serious part of this life on earth. And we just ask that you bring that spirit into all of our actions. And we love you so much. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.